Amen. You may be seated. Certainly happy to be back here in the house of the Lord with you all. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. You know, when Christ is our life and the Word is Christ, then it's always such a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord with where the Word is. You know, sometimes it feels like it's a chore, and I say that being a minister, because there is so much in the preparation, there's so much in the anxiety of just wondering if the Lord's going to give you something that you'll be able to give to the people. And then, of course, some ministers don't have that anxiety. They just figure if they can say the same thing over and over again and make the people feel good, that's all right. Well, that's like taking kids to school, and as long as the kids are happy, you know, with their cookies and their milk and recess, I guess that's all right. But there comes a day when that flunks out. It won't work. And we have to know that Word. There is an anxiety to it, all right. And sometimes you preach a thing and you know from the Word of God it's there in black and white. You say, oh, it's in black and white. I can find it in a dozen places. And yet, because it's not the season for it, you try to make it work. And then in trying to make it work, you can't make it work. And then you say, what is this all about anyway? Now, I remember for years, I studied faith because I was I had such a very poor faith many years ago. I guess I was so introverted and outverted and downverted and everything but upverted, I guess, that I had a terrible time. And although my life came into Christ because of the power of the Word, and I had God manifest himself to me by miracles too, in the sense that he'd help me, I still had such non-active faith. And so there came a time when I determined to major in faith if I possibly could. And I spent, hours and hours of studies. I read all the books I could get my hands on. And I got pretty big hands and fairly good reach too. And I studied and studied, and I waited on the Lord, and I prayed, I fasted. And I think that maybe I did develop a little better faith than what I had. And in my studies, I came across the fact that it said over here in the book of Mark, but Brother Branham always quoted from, 11th chapter, I guess it is, somewhere in there. And verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, that's an actual mistranslation. It's have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall send his mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Now, Jesus said there to have the faith of God. And so, if he said to have the faith of God, then you must be able to have the faith of God. See, there can be no doubt about it. Otherwise, why say have the faith of God? Be like me saying, come and have dinner with me, you never find me home. See, that guy Bagel's he's a nut and a rat. See? Well, you have to pin me down and say, when shall I have dinner with you? Well, say maybe 2,000 years from now. Now, it's not quite that bad in Scripture. But when he said have the faith of God, Brother Branham brought that into the 1900s and 60s, and no doubt in the 70s. He applied it 2,000 years later. And yet, James says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And Paul also says, by the faith of him. So therefore, we do have the faith of God somehow, but not productive as in Mark 11. Because the day was not yet. There was no age that actually had this thing that was spoken of. You can't find it. You can find men operating in the realm of faith to a point and a degree. But within it is the realm of fallibility to such an extent that it is not operative perfectly. Now, we look for the perfect man to operate it. Say, well, then we're waiting for the perfect man to operate. Then God failed because there had been no perfect man to operate it. Even in Brother Branham's ministry, we never saw it. The closest we saw was Thus Saith the Lord. What he did was in secret in all those times that he had that faith of God operative. So here's the thing that doesn't bother me now, but I always puzzled, because when I used to teach a series on faith, I started with this very premise, and I got loads of scripture. And when you've got loads of scripture, you can't deny the Bible. If you have the faith of God, 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 period. See? And you can't say, well, it's not operative and it doesn't work, so therefore I don't have it. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God. See, if you've got to add your faith, virtue, and so on, then you must be in the realm of the miraculous. It's a supernatural thing we don't have ourselves. So I had to preach on faith a long time, and maybe as much as 21 different sermons, or maybe more than that. Anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it will always build people's faith up. But you know, in my heart, I always knew some little thing was wrong. I didn't know what it was. What it wasn't time for this in Mark to come into manifestation. Here's where we stand today. We are on the realm, or the edge, as I understand Brother Branham taught this, from 60 onward with no change, that this very thing would be in the bride, where she could say to this mountain, be thou moved. There would be no doubt. Now, how in the world can you tell a man not to have doubts if his very makeup is one of doubts? You can't do it. You're going to have a man whose every inlet to the soul is sealed in, as was Abraham by the word of God. And then, when it's all sealed in by the revealed word, we'll stand in a place, I believe, of that real faith of God. The bride will have the word and know what to do with it. And it won't be she that speaks, but it'll be the Father in her speaking. Then these very things will come to pass. Everything has a season, and this is so important to remember, that we're in the season of certain things. And when we look at this season here, what we're in, but not yet fully arrived at, you know, follow me now? Then we must also remember the other things we're still in. See, we can look at this and look how great it is and forget those multitudes of problems and conditions that arise within the mixed multitude which we have today. I wouldn't want to warn you too strenuously. I just have to just say what I think. My own thinking on the subject is that there's going to be a tremendous falling away from this word within our ranks before too long, because people are going to get tired. They're going to get worn out waiting for what's coming. Or there could be some cataclysmic effect come in their lives. I wouldn't want to try to figure it out, but something which would cause many to leave this word and say, well, it's just possible that we made some kind of a mistake. But I don't want to be one of those. I'm trying to fortify myself daily and continuously on the fact that we have a vindicated message and no one else has it. Now, because there's a, in my mind, I believe, that is to my thinking, I feel that many people don't understand the mysteries of which Brother Branham spoke. They've tried to sort of ignore them or go too far with them, try to figure them all out. And many don't really understand what the mysteries are that Brother Branham came to bring us. I want to speak on that very subject this morning, the mysteries of God. And then maybe tonight continue one of those mysteries on iniquity, which would deal with the actual, not broad view of the picture, but the actual details as set forth in the Word. Many times we take a broad view, as Brother Branham said, I'm going to take a little panoramic here. Well, you know the panorama is, that's that sweeping view. And then he said we would have to have ministers break those panoramas down with a sort of a magnifying glass and give you a close-up view of some of the facets. I think maybe tonight we might deal on that to show you some things in Scripture that run through the whole Bible. and bring us to the day in which we live. Now, the reading will be in Revelation, the 10th chapter, just for our text. I think we've all maybe turned there. Revelation 10. Verse 7, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, once more we approach unto you, very seriously and soberly, Lord, about this word which we know, my God, that we should not stand in doubt this day. But Lord, if we have any doubts at all, the doubts lie in our own minds and hearts of our fallibility, not the ability of the word which has been given to us. We don't doubt that because we know it was vindicated. But Lord, we have no vindicated. However, we do have faith. And by your grace, Lord, we're believing that we'll not make one mistake in the word of Almighty God, but Lord, to give it exactly as it's given forth, and then help us, Lord, to break down those places that he told us to break down, and to elucidate, my God, in the way he told us to. And Lord, we pray now that every word shall be from you. May your Spirit, O God, make it real, so that the speaking and the hearing might be one, and we might know those things which are freely given to us of God. And as we believe, Lord, and realize in the last day it's all given to us. Everything, Lord, not one thing thrown away. You said, gather up the crumbs. Every age you broke the word, and then it went into crumbs and little pieces here, but we don't believe there's one little bit wasted, one little bit that's thrown aside. But Lord, at this end time, it's all going to come into view, and then the whole body will come into view. We're looking for it, Lord, this great, wonderful thing that's coming upon the earth. Oh God, anoint every moment of the day that we may think these thoughts, Lord. Help us to be completely dead on the world, completely circumcised from the things of time as we're stepping into eternity. Oh God, we know that even as in science, how that people invent things and then they know there's got to be things prepared for the invention. Well, Lord, we know that where the age is prepared. We know that's already in your calendar. You've worked it out. But now you're preparing a people for that age, which is a sensible thing to do. And so we thank you for it, Lord, that we're being prepared at this time. Get us ready, Lord, all the way to step from time into eternity. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In that seventh verse, it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, you notice at the end time, all the mysteries of God are going to be finished or come into full view. And they're going to be revealed by the end time messenger. Now, if we believe that the prophet did say that he would not be taken until all his work was finished, and if we do believe that he said the opening of the seals gave the bride everything she needed to put in the rapture, then we would find it hard not to form the understanding or the opinion that he did reveal all the mysteries. And that whatever was not revealed is simply that it was not actually not revealed, but it has not been made real to us. And that those things which are incidental to the mysteries, that is what comes out of it. Although they have not been brought into full view, they are in the process because that which is to bring them into full view itself is already there. I hope you caught that. Sometimes you can't do any more than just say it. And I've said it. And I'll repeat again that there are certain things that we look forward to come. And that which is to bring them to pass is already here. In other words, the potential is with us. And the full manifestation lies within what the prophet brought us. Well, I give you an illustration. There are many people talking about what the new name's going to be. Well, frankly, I'm not interested. Because I've got the least idea. And if I put myself in a position I could open myself to the devil. I just simply stand that this is something which is to come, and we have that which is now able to bring it forth, and I rest on what is able to bring it forth, because if I have what is able to bring it forth, I will have that which must be brought forth. Right? Simple as ABC. Two married couple can bring forth a baby. Why? Because they have the ability. There, put it in a nutshell. The word of God's in me, it's got to come forth. And I'm not going to stuff and stew and try to bring forth a premature or an abortion or something else. See, sometimes you got to get downright crude to get these things across, and that's my nature, I guess. I hate to be this way, but as long as you see it, see? So therefore, we believe that Brother Branham gave us this word, see, brought forth these mysteries. If he was Revelation 10 and 7, then he must have. So I say, well, he didn't do it. That's according to you. What about according to God? See? So, now, let's look at some of those mysteries just as a matter of briefly seeing from Scripture what they are. First of all, we go to 1 Timothy 3:16. Let's see, 1 Timothy? No, I got not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I guess we want here. Now, first of all, we notice here, this is not a mystery here, but looking at the thought that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, see, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, all Scripture is given as a basis which is desired in order to bring us up to a peak, to bring us into a position which is approved of God. Now, much of the Scripture mentions mysteries. And if mysteries are a part of the Scripture, then these are necessary in order to bring us into the realm that God wants us to be in, or we are simply not going to attain to it. Now, with this, we'll notice one of the great mysteries is the mystery of godliness. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now, you'll notice here that the mystery of godliness, which is set forth here, there is no church, I'm convinced there is no church, that does not believe that it knows all about this. Yet it's a mystery. See? Great controversy, the mystery of godliness. In 2 Thessalonians also, we find in 2 Thessalonians 2, I think about verse 7, we don't need to look it up, but it says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, you'll find that the majority of churches believe they understand this mystery, and this is communism. Whereas the mystery of godliness is one God cut into three. Because nobody knew it before. Then in Romans 11:25, there is a mystery of Israel's blindness, which everybody counteracts or contradicts by going to all the world and preach the gospel to the Jew first. And they're still trying to give him the gospel first when he already had it first. Then if he done had it first and the Gentiles had it second, Israel done had it. That's not just good thinking, that's true thinking. Then in Revelation 17:5, there's a mystery of Babylon. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a mystery of people not dying but go to being with Jesus without dying. And these are just a few of the mysteries. See? They're there in the Bible. Now, to begin with, let's consider what a mystery is. What is it exactly? It is certainly not something about which we can know nothing, or there'd be no point in even mentioning it. And yet the very fact we use the word mystery, right away everybody wants to conjure up something that's coming out of a silk hat, or it has something to do with a rabbit's foot. It's something so strategically veiled by God that you can't know anything about it. Now, wouldn't that be funny for God to put in His Word, which He gave to you and me, who are so thoroughly confused already, something about that which we could know nothing, and say, Lord, tell me. Well, He said, there's no use telling anything about it because you can't know it. See, you'd be like a little kid, I'm going to give you a Christmas present. What is it, Mommy? What is it, Daddy? Well, I can't tell you. See, you'd have the kid hopping up and down like a yo-yo. Well, transfer that to Christianity, then why do people suddenly go stiff as a board when you talk about mysteries? See? Now, neither can it mean something so mysterious that it cannot be comprehended. You ever hear preachers tell you, they tell you something that was so deep and so mysterious, no use telling you? Say thank you. Please don't question. Just say thank you, I'm sure glad. And walk, and please walk off. Don't walk, run to the nearest exit. That's right. Mysteries. They're so mysterious that you just can't comprehend it. Well, isn't it strange that Revelation 10 and 7 says these mysteries are all going to be finished and brought into full view? See? They'll be brought to a place of a fine perfection. See? Well, now, what exactly is a mystery? Let's just begin to find out in the Word of God, so we'll just get rid of all these little funny tensions and feelings we have about it, so we can relax. Well, there's nothing like knowing what the Word of God says, which it says in Romans 16. And verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, even the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept in secret since the world began. Now, how in the world could you be established by a mystery so vague that you can know nothing about it, or it is so intricate and involved that it's incomprehensible? This is the one thing that would disestablish you. Now let me read it in another translation, which is more liberal. Now to one who is a power to establish you according to my gospel. Not somebody else's, but mine, said Paul. Even the proclamation concerning Jesus Christ, according to the uncovering of the mystery, which during times eternal has been kept in silence, but is now made known through prophetic writings, according to the mandate of the eternal God, having been made known with a view to the obedience of faith among all nations, to God alone wise, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Now, how in the world could there be the obedience of faith if mysteries could not be thoroughly apprehended? If you could not successfully deal with it? To come into a working knowledge of the things of Almighty God. Notice it says, in times eternal they were kept secret, but now they have been made known. Why? How? Through the mandate of God, by a command, the mysteries have been brought into view. Now, Paul tells us then that the eternal Word, which is God's foreknowledge, can be made known. Furthermore, it has been made known, and it is now completely knowable. It can be made known. It can be known. It has been made known and is now knowable. It's open to us. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm sorry, third chapter. Take about the first seven verses. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which has given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. See? In other words, Israel, Paul pondering God. Paul wanting to know about the things of God. He studied hard to find out. He did everything he could to break this barrier. Now, wouldn't it be funny if there's a barrier that can't be broken and you're trying to break it? You'd destroy yourself. See? Now he says this barrier has been broken by a revelation. In other words, it's been revealed to him. As I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, he said, I can break it down to the place where you can get a hold of it, and you know that I have an understanding. Watch how I put the scripture together and see where it goes. which another generation was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See? It's unfolding. Now, it's got to be unfolding because at the end time, the whole thing is unfolded. It's a progressive view. Isn't that exactly what 2 Corinthians tells us concerning the veil on Moses' face? But if you keep looking in that word and drawing brighter and brighter, you come to that perfect day. Now, what's he talking about? Mysteries. See? Now, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ for the gospel. Do you know that people still don't know what that's all about? They still don't know that in one body we're going to be here under King David. They still don't know what it's all about. Challenge you, read their books. Their books won't jive with Brother Branham. Can't. Can't, won't jive. Won't line up at all. Notice he said, and whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working with power. What was his ministry? To bring the revealed mysteries to the people. See? His ministry. Now, notice Colossians, the fourth chapter. I'm showing you the knowability of mysteries. In other words, it's not this great big veil thing many people think it is. The third verse, I hope, in Colossians, fourth chapter. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, this mystery's got to be so clear in the light of divine revelation, it's going to absolutely cut across somebody, or Paul would not have been put in jail. Somebody else had it wrong. Now, how much then can you know? You can know a lot. If you think somebody else is going to be wrong, you're going to be right. See that right? Okay, just want to get our points across to see if we can find out what this is all about. Okay, 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ, even, not and. You can't be a minister and a steward. You are a minister which is a steward. See? Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, even stewards of the mysteries of God. A man that's got his hands on the bank, and a steward is a faithful servant dispensing or dealing in the riches of the owner in order to bring him a profit. Now, what was Paul entrusted with? The mysteries. Now, out of this entrustment, or this entrusting of the mysteries, Paul as the faithful servant must bring men to God. Well, then that's got to be something knowable. If it's not knowable, how are you going to work it out? The book of Mark, the 4th chapter, 11 and 12. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. In other words, the revealed word of God will simply be as a parable or matter of esoterics to those who aren't in the revelation of these mysteries. That seeing they may see and not perceive. It'll be right on there, just as broad as can be. Like, as I say, a billboard with a sign on it 14 foot high. And they still won't see it. And hearing they're going to hear. They won't understand. Because if they could, they would be of the converted ones. In other words, they'd come right into the Holy Ghost with forgiveness of sins and be a part of that kingdom. Now, that's what keeps them out. Now, if that's what keeps them out, then it must be given to us to know the knowable from God, which is unknown to those outside. But it's got to be known. See? All right. Now, the students of religious history, which history, of course, deals with the day of Paul, have this to say about the word mysteries. Among the ancient Greeks, the mysteries were religious rites and ceremonies practiced by secret societies into which anyone who so desired might be received. Believe in your host, be saved. Those who were initiated into these mysteries became possessors of certain knowledge which was not imparted to the uninitiated, and they were called the perfected. Now remember, the Bible was written in the vernacular of the day. So therefore, and Christ being under the Roman Empire, not under a Jewish theocracy, he would speak concerning mysteries the same as Paul would speak concerning mysteries, with the same idea in mind. Now, you notice what it was. The world had lodges, and you could join these lodges if you so desired. And you would learn certain information which would set you apart from anybody else who was not a member. And this information or learning which you received would make you one of the perfected. Now apply that to Scripture in the spiritual sense. And you have those within the body of Christ are heirs to the revealed mind of God, which brings them into a perfection which the others simply do not have. See? Now, notice this in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 1 to 10. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Same things he said over here in Colossians and Ephesians. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now you show me any place that Paul could bring this word with the full reception of that word apart from the bride of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't work. See? Amongst the perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which goes right back to the mind of God to ages eternal, which reveals the foreknowledge of God. Now the best you and I can have in our lodges is to guess by what we have. But supposing you could tap the prime resource, which is the mind of God, then where do you stand? You stand one with Him. Don't you? Oh, I hope you're seeing this, because that's what's in the Word. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden, that what not wisdom, but mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And remember, if you're going to have a glory, it's got to be His glory, because your glory fades. And the glory mentioned here is where we share with Him, because we're going to be glorified with Him, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't have the least idea, even though they thought they had, but notice how what Jesus and Paul brought cut right against them, and Christ died for it, and Paul was put in prison for it. See? The revelation of the Word of God. Okay? Galatians, the 1st chapter. Verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, my gospel, is not after man, neither was received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? Now, don't forget what we read over here in Romans. Now to one, that's Jesus, capital O-N-E, who is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Remember, Brother Branham said, we have seen the word of God revealed in power, but we've not had the true revelation of it. Power won't do it any more than a heathen seeing the great ability of nature in a cataclysm, such as a bolt of lightning destroying by fire or an earthquake. It doesn't explain anything. It only scares the living daylights out of you. Neither can the word of God revealed in power do anything for you except make you to know there's something there, but you don't know what's there. And then if you're like the heathen who worships something not knowing what's there, you're wrong. So is the Christian. The establishment lies in the revelation. You can't get established by power ministries. As I showed you last week, these men get great gifts according to 1 Corinthians 12. They're not even numbered. That's why a woman could pray for the sick and have a miracle ministry for all I know and all I care. But you let anybody stand behind that pulpit outside the endorsed or elected member that Christ put there, you've got trouble. See? Unto him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel, even the proclamation concerning Jesus Christ, according to the uncovering of the mystery, which has been hidden. In our day, it's been hidden under the rubble of creeds and dogmas and hit and miss guesswork and attempting to knit the scripture together when it won't fit by knitting it. How can you knit a body? How can any man put cell upon cell in woman's womb? And how can there be a bride come forth except by the enlivened word of Almighty God, each one of us being a part of that word? It won't work any other way. All right. Now, it's been kept in silence. It's been kept hidden in the tombs. It died for 1,000 years. It's starting to come back. But now, according to the mandate of the eternal God, the mysteries have been made known whereby we walk in obedience of faith. Faith is a revelation. I don't care what your walk is, and I mean it. Categorically, I don't care what anybody's walking, unless it's in the obedience of faith to this word that brands you as a heretic, your walk is in vain. Won't get you anywhere. See? Now, this is not dead fundamental preaching. This is the Word of God. Now, thus you can see what the mysteries are. The mysteries are the revealed truths of the Word of God to the elect. That's exactly what the mysteries are. It's the revealed word of God, the revealed truth to the elect. Let's go to John, the 3rd chapter. Verses 3 to 13. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no spiritual comprehension or apprehension. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Or born of water and Spirit, whichever way you want to put it. See, the water doesn't save you, Spirit does. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That's not a good translation. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth. Thou hearest the voice thereof, but canst not tell whither he cometh and whither he goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. What's the wind got to do with you? Every other place in the Bible, pneumos, Spirit. You know where you have a wind blowing, it won't do you any good. You have a wind, cold wind, hot wind. People have trouble with Christianity. Too many cold wind, hot wind. Stay with the Spirit of God. The Bible said, don't worry about the wind. See? Now, the Spirit breatheth where he willeth. You hear the sound. Hear the sound of his voice. That's a literal translation. But he said, you don't understand the processes. In other words, there's no mechanics to it where you can just simply have this. Won't work. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? See, Jesus really pulled him on this one. He said, are you a master in Israel and don't know these things? He said, truly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? See, and no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now Jesus tells Nicodemus right here, no matter how hard you try to understand the things of God, you cannot understand them unless you're part of that election. See? And over here in John 3, and verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. The mysteries of God are spiritually revealed. They're revealed to us, in other words, the Word of God. The truth in the Word of God is given to the elect by the Spirit of God. Now, don't forget to put the emphasis on revelation. Now, so you can see what I'm saying, I'm going to quote what Brother Branham said. He said, a mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which a supernatural element remains despite the revelation. Now, you know that's not Brother Branham's language. That's Scofield. See, but it's right. Except for one thing, I wish he'd used his own instead of Scofield. And I'll quote his later. And as we might as well admit that this is what makes the believing of the elect appear foolish to the deceived or non-elect. See? The fact that we see it in the way it's given by the Holy Ghost, and they are trying to arrive at it in a way that you can see it through the eyes of man, makes them to believe that we're heretics and so far out as to be not only improbable, but to be foolish. See? Even the average fundamentalist will not come to this understanding. You can't explain the mysteries or any truth in the Bible with the perfect understanding to the natural mind. Won't work. You can't do it. Even you and I this morning can't get it. We can't have it. There is no such thing as a perfect understanding in the human mind. The Bible warns us. It's a revelation, and we see it by the Spirit of God, not by the Spirit of man. See? Let's go to John 16. 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. See, Jesus said, I want to talk to you, but there's no use me telling you things because you can't get it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into A-double-L truth. Now, did he mean it or didn't he mean it? And if he's going to guide you into all truth, how can the mysteries be so veiled and so covered you can't know them? Now, it doesn't say he'll explain them, and it doesn't say you'll functionalize them as the human mind would like to categorize and table everything to bring it out like a computer. It won't do that. It won't do it. But you'll know it's the truth. See? Because you got the revelation. This is the very same thing we read about in the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now listen. Quoting from the anointed ones of the end time. Brother Branham said, remember, the third pole was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed in the Word. That's what he said. I like that better than Scofield. Yeah, I like it still better than Scofield. Listen to this, the breach. The mysteries, now get this carefully. The mysteries come down from God as the Word of God and reveals the entire revelation of God. In other words, the mysteries actually happen to be the revealed Word of Almighty God. That's what you're dealing with. See? Not some vague thing that you can't know. Not something that, if you did know, is in the realm of what looks very vague and improbable. But it's what the Bible teaches you must know in order to have the obedience of faith. Walking with Enoch. See? We can now see that the mysteries actually equate to doctrine. That's right. What are mysteries? The doctrine. Now, that might sound kind of mundane and take away all the little good feelings you've had about us. You could kind of sit back and say, well, there's something we really don't know about. You know, you can get that. I want to tell you, it's the easiest thing in the world to go off the deep end. You know, it's the strangest thing. Little kids never jump in the shallow part. They always want to jump in the deep part.
That's where they drown, too. Little kids sell and drown in a wading pool because they always want to go beyond their dead. As long as people can sort of get tickled about these mysteries, so-called, you know, and they've got something that they can bring out of the little bag of tricks, I've got news for you. Ain't so at all. So don't listen to these preachers got these little bag of tricks and want to show you something. Because it isn't there to be shown. It's already been shown. Okay? You know, the way some people preach a sermon, you'd almost think they'd be like a guy that runs the movie house. And he brings in this film and he acts as though he made the movie, he directed, and there it is. Look at me, look at me. Come on. That's the thing of the past. The prophet has revealed it. He brought it by the word of God. It actually equates the doctrine. The mysteries, the truths, the revealed word that came down out of heaven. Now, if you can't guess where that is, that's Revelation 10, 1 to 7, or I don't even know what I'm talking about. See? It's come down. Now, it's God's wisdom or truth transmitted to man in order that he may comprehend as far as his human limitations will allow the Spirit to reveal it to him. The revealed Word of God that's come down, shown to us by the Spirit of Almighty God, and we can and will grasp it to the extent of our human limitations. But there's nobody ever going to sit down and explain anything to anybody, 1, 2, 3, 4, so they'll say, I got that. Now, you may think you're getting that, but it's not happened that way. You've got to have that same Spirit in you that revealed it to the one who brought it. See? Now then, as we understand the mysteries, because that's what Brother Branham said, they were, read it again, the mysteries come down from God as the Word of God, and reveals the entire revelation of God. That's what it is. They're no longer hidden. They come into full view. Now let's look at the condition set forth in the Word as to these mysteries coming to the people. Now let's just check them out. Now that we know what they are, what guidelines has God put on them? Now here's where the church goes into anarchy. It doesn't want the guidelines. That's where Eve went wrong. She didn't want the guidelines. That's what's wrong with our clergy. They don't want the guidelines, though the guideline was William Branham with the vindicated message, just like Paul. Now you throw away your guidelines and throw your Bible out the door because it'll kill you. There is no greater poison than this book if you pervert it. There is no more damage than a two-edged sword that's sharp as a razor. It's deadly. So is this book. It's life to one and death to the other. Yeah, I can prove it to you. It says those that don't hear the gospel and die without the gospel are judged without the gospel. But if anybody comes against this here and then backs away, he'll be judged by the light given, and I don't know what hope he's got. I'm not here to judge him. That's up to God. Let's look at the guideline. Now, first of all, only men gifted by God can bring any revelation to the elect. In other words, these mysteries, the Word of God revealed, come by channels, and those channels are men. And those men are certain men, and no other men. Okay, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, which we read a while ago, we read again because where the word mysteries is, we must just continually use those passages. 7-10. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. There is an effectual ministry of the Holy Ghost within certain individuals by the grace of Almighty God. Notice that's election, whereby they are able to handle this and nobody else can. And he said, I am the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I may preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Now notice how he debases himself. That this clever man had to count everything he knew as dung on the dung heap. But that's where God makes princes, is on the dung heap. He doesn't make them in palaces. He wasn't born in one. He was born over a dung heap. See, that's where the eagles were too, when he picked them off. by the grace of God. Notice, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul had this ministry given to him to reveal the Word of God apart from human knowledge, which no matter how clever you are, you cannot ascribe to, and he's given it by God to the end or the intent that all may stand back and wonder of this majestic influence in the bride. You know something? Everybody wants to have $1 million, but nobody wants to earn it, and I'm in the same category. But when it comes to this word, hardly anybody wants to stand back and just say it. They want to hear slugging and fighting. Oh, I got my part too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm in the right track too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, shut up and sit down. Got enough brains to sit back and take $1 million if it's given you, but haven't got enough spirituality to sit back and receive. Something wrong with somebody. I hope it's not. My, just thinking this morning how it is that people just want to make that big splash. You know what? You throw a big rock in a puddle where there's fish, you'll get the water out, honey, but you get the fish too. Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. I hope I'm not lying. Now I see. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Let a man so account of us. Notice, let a man so account. He said, I want you to respect me. Well, you know, I know that. Let a man so account. That means let me look at his life and say, now the Apostle Paul, I think I see this lovely quality. Yes, number one, that's very, very, very good. And I see, I think I see number two quality. Very, 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 that's lovely too. Oh, yeah. That's very nice. No, you missed it all wrong. He said, I want you to know one thing, respect me. Give me my place. Well, I couldn't do that. You couldn't? Mercy me, somebody's wrong. It's not Paul. Huh? Let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ, even stewards of the mysteries of God. See? Now notice, in Ephesians 3 and 7, Paul was gifted to bring us the revelation originally. And this, of course, continued through the seven church ages in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, where every single messenger was given a revelation of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ, which was the revealed word of the age. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, but the Spirit is only talking to one, O-N-E man per age. And then he taught faithful men, as Paul instructed Timothy to teach faithful men who would teach the very same thing without one iota of difference. Okay? And the people sat there listening. They didn't say, I'm going to contradict you here and there. The only way they could contradict anybody was going to what Paul taught. His brother Branham said in that first age, he said, thou hast to judge them to be false prophets, apostles. And he said, how? He said, because they weren't preaching what Paul preached. And they went up and said, listen, you're a false apostle. He said, my, that was flat. They said, how come you call us false apostles? Because you're not saying what Paul said. See? There's your picture. They're gifted men. And this has happened in seven church ages until today we've had ours. So therefore, the revelation is the great mysteries of God can only come down through the ordained source. And remember, Jesus held seven stars in his right hand, and right hand symbolized authority and power. Not left hand. I've got nothing against left-handed people because they can't help it. But by symbology, that's all balanced. I don't care if you are a Benjamite and can throw that thing to a hairbread, you're still all balanced. It's his right hand. That lines up with God. Now, what's a star? A star is the preeminent one amongst many like him. All preachers, all men, two eyes, two feet, two ears, wear the same kind of clothes, say the same kind of things. But there's one man that God picked out and everybody else listens. I don't care who he is. Let everybody remain dumb. We saw that in John. We saw it in Peter. We saw it in Paul. Three witnesses. What more does a man want? There's your trend. You can't change it. See? Can't change it. Now, God's ordained it to come that certain way. Number two, only gifted men can separate and coordinate the truth for the bride. Man sits there, well, I can do it. You better watch out. You might not be able to do it. You just think you can do it. Now, we're going to cut pretty fine here, but I can't help it, see? If I get knocked myself out of the kingdom and knock you out too, that's our tough luck. pardon my expressions. I use some pretty raw expressions, but let's face it. That's the vernacular of the day. No use trying to preach some lie up here in highly polished English. I'd sooner just preach the plain old flat truth, period. Let it go with that. I don't care how pretty the stone outside looks in your building when it's finished. I tell you one thing, that was rough old raw rock when it came out of the ground. Now, that's how I want to treat the Word of God. Just bring it right down. And I said, only gifted men can separate and coordinate the truth for the bride. Because his whole thing in here, you just jump from pillar to post to where back and forth, back and forth. And so, to separate, you take maybe from the end of the millennium to the first millennium, and you got to bring together what belongs at the first and what belongs at the end. That's why people couldn't figure out Matthew 24. Oh, they said, that's at the first of the millennium. That's the line, Matthew 24, of the judgment of the nation is at the last of the millennium. See? To simply know each mystery, and you could know each one by name, allows contradictions of the Word. The Bible then fights the Bible. The whole Word must be reconciled to one living, working body. Romans 11 chapter and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Now he tells you right there. He said, if you don't understand what's going on now, he said, you're going to be absolutely blind as to reality. And if the church is blind right today concerning Israel, she's on her way down and she's proud and puffed up because she's trying to save what God said can't be saved because it's already saved under the fifth seal of the nation. Israel can only come by a nation. And under the seal, all Israel shall be saved. Blind in their own conceit. Then if you're blind, you're in Laodicea. Now you got to be able to separate the Word of God and yet coordinate it. You got to be able to take what belongs to Israel and what belongs to Gentiles and then coordinate for Israel and coordinate for the Gentiles and they'll run right together into the millennium. And if you haven't got it straight from the star or the messenger of your age and you are not ordained to be in that pulpit in that fivefold ministry, you will only lead a blind people, you yourself being blind. See, I'm not standing up here to try to vindicate myself. Anybody wants my job, they can have it, as long as I know God told them they could. I tried it once already, and he almost killed me, not trying the second time. Right or wrong, I'll keep on preaching. But the point is this, I had better be right, or I'll stand in judgment of those that I've deceived. Now let's look at it. You can see why there is such fighting over doctrine right today. You've got too many people listening, those that weren't ordained to preach the message in the first place. You got too many running around with their own opinions that are deceiving people. And they rise up and say, well, I don't think we ought to do so-and-so. And they press in until they destroy people's works. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I can name you names. See? Now, there are not many true ministers. There can't be. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says, the 11th verse, that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. See? Now, there are not many true ministers. There can't be. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says, the 11th verse, that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. The enumeration is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. That's in First Corinthians, also the 12th chapter. Now, notice, with this, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 15, beware of false prophets. Peter warns also false teachers. which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Now just hold your finger there, and let's go to Matthew 23, 27, 28. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but in within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, what's a hypocrite? He's doing something which he's pretending he's something he's not. And the word iniquity falls right in line with the mystery of iniquity, which has to do with the false worship. You are nothing but a hypocrite pretending you are of the election, and you are not of the election. But you're trying to make yourself look like one of the elect, by the way you told the line and all. But he said, what you are, you're full of dead men's bones. The dead doctrines of yesterday. Your creeds and your dogmas. Now, inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. What was the corrupt tree in the Garden of Eden? The knowledge of good and evil. In other words, being able to take the good thing and pervert it to the wrong end. And you've got the same thing today. You've got a false ministry and you've got a true ministry. And you've got those that'll stay with the Word and those that won't stay with the Word. And you won't be able to pick them apart as far as their life or anything else goes, but once they get you off of that Word, you're doomed. You're finished. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of people doing that that don't even get in the pulpit. Well, if they got something to tell the pulpit, then get in the pulpit. See? Alright? Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And in verse 7, notice, remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their behavior. Now notice what it says, remember those that have the rule over you. Now Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, no rather, rule my sheep, feed my sheep, rule my sheep. The Protestant Bible says feed, feed, feed. The Catholic says rule, rule, rule. But the Word of God says rule, feed, rule. Now there's a rulership in the Church of God. But it's not by individuals taking the authority. It's the Word of God preached that takes the authority. And since the Word is Christ, then Christ is in full authority in the bride when the true Word is amongst them. You don't need to worry then. See? So I got to sign the order. That's not it. The full authority of Christ is in the church by the revealed word. See? And then by obedience, you'll see the other things follow. Notice it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that sandwiched in there? Be not carried about with divers strange doctrines. That's exactly Revelation, the first chapter, in that 10th and 12th verses and so on. He said, I heard a voice behind me as a great trumpet, and I turned to see the voice, and I saw Christ in the bride. The authority, Christ, the living God within the church, is the Word revealed. Sure, that's too tame for a lot of people, but you can't teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. In other words, you can't bring the mysteries of God. You cannot bring the Pentecostal people the mysteries of God. Don't talk about the Baptists. They've been dead for a century. Don't talk about the stem, and don't talk about the shoot. Talk about the champ. That's where we are today, coming out of it, see? Be not carried about divers and strange doctrine, for it's a good thing the heart be established with grace, not with meats and so on. See? People carried about with this idea and that of their strange dogma and strange things, see? Notice also, in Acts the 20th chapter, verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverted things, to draw away disciples after them. See? What is it? Part of a ministry, part men desiring a ministry. Not truly called. But they'll rise up, because they wish to take authority. And the authority is not with the Word, the authority is with themselves, because they tell you with their own ideas. Because the word perverse is literally perverted. How can there be a perverse person if there isn't a law to make him perverse? You say, that's a perverse child. Why? He'll never listen to me. Then a perverse thing is that which is contrary to what was said under divine inspiration by Paul. So it's a perverted thing. Against the Word of God. Men trained Sure, they know part of that word. But they're not of the elected ministry. Brother Branham called it the fivefold elected ministry under election. The third thing we notice, the mysteries of God are for edifying the bride. The mysteries is the doctrine, the teaching. Revealed word of God come down out of heaven is for the bride and never were intended of the Lord to be for judging and whipping. Now, the word itself would judge you, but I mean by judging people, just jumping all over them, quoting scripture, say, well, oh, that's fine, and bringing in something to make you feel like a fool, or you're a dirty, rotten sort of a person while he's doing the very worst thing that you're doing. Roman Catholic priest, I'm going to come and confess your sin while he's living in rottenness himself, boozing it up when he falls flat in his face in the street. Don't think you haven't got the same thing amongst the Protestants. Don't think you haven't got the same thing among us, too. Come on. There's only one place you're going to have it perfect, and that's where the Bible said where there's no oxen, the crib is clean. There's no cows, there's no manure pile. Where there's no people, there's nothing either. As long as you've got people, you've got problems. Until there be a separation, we're talking about the end time, and that when that great thing happens, the prophet said would happen to the bride. But let's face it now, there's no such thing as using that word to whip somebody while you yourself are living like a hypocrite. However, they do correct and they do guide the elect. Over here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in verse 2, it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. In other words, you really understand that word come down out of heaven. Though you don't have love, you're nothing. All right? Back again to the one we read first of all in 2 Timothy. That third chapter. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture given for inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's the job of a good pastor. He must reprove by the word. Why? Because it will bring correction. It will instruct him in righteousness. What really is right. Not what a person thinks is right, but what really is right. I remember reading years ago, I used to be enamored by the man Star Daly. He was a convict and he was in prison for many, many years and seems that God did a tremendous work in him. And then so he wrote a book. And he told how that he himself turned on a man that believed in tongues in the church because he asked this man who spoke in tongues to give his tithe to some widows and kids. And the man says, the tithe goes to the ministry. And Star Daly said, I knew for all of his tongues he was not a god because he turned down the chance to help a widow. Star Daly could not have been a god, not the man that spoke in tongues, because the man speaking in tongues was right and Star Daly was wrong. The tithe does not go to kids and widows and orphans and all. It goes to the ministry. That's God's ordained way. His brother once wrote Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, should I give my tithe to a man? He said, it all depends who the man is. See? So you're sure the man wrote a great book. See, I don't care how many great books you write. I don't care how many tears you jerk and how many altars you fill. My brother, my sister, this is cutting to the line. Brother Branham said he hewed him up by the prophets. We're not dealing now with cream puffs and milk pudding. We're dealing with a rugged rock with a mighty chopping instrument swung by a prophet to cut you clear of your creeds and dogmas. See? That's where he stands. No, the word of God is not given to beat somebody over the head. I don't get up here and want to slug you. I don't know the most of you here. I just maybe know your faces and know some of your names, but I've never really lived amongst too many of you. I really know you. So I don't know what you got in your life. So I just preach the word of God as it comes to me. But I want to preach it for this thing. We all need the correction and we need the instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. He may have every finishing touch. And brother, sister, we're living in the age of perfection, of conclusion. And so therefore, if any time the word of God must be taught right and effective, this is that age. And you cannot go beyond, first of all, that one step of directly lining up with the revelation. I don't care anybody says, every thought must be brought into captivity to Christ, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God must be brought low. Until with one mind and one heart and one voice, and the voice is in the bride, that's when she's in step and she'll go, but not before. As Brother Branham said, get 10 men in unity, the bride will go. What? The bride is made out of 10 people then. Not even 500. See? Now, here where we stand. The mysteries of God are given to edify the bride. That's to build her up. See, in other words, say, well, how can I be built up outside of that word? You can't be built up outside of that word. Look, because brother, sister, unless we have this word, we're not even built in. See? There's only one place that's going to really work, and that's in the church, which is the true bride. Now, notice also that this, in 1 Corinthians 13, makes it very clear that Christ's church is not based on the teaching handed down by the fathers until we have a second generation who can quote the subject perfectly. You realize if we went on and on and on for another 20 years, that our children growing up, if providing we have the true revelation, we could give those kids a word-by-word knowledge until they could quote us perfectly like parrots, and they still fail to make it. See? Why? Because it's not spiritually revealed to them. See, a truly spiritually revealed thing is where you get cut off and cut into. How can anybody brought up within the doctrine of the church be born again? They can't. Now, I hope you caught what I'm saying right there. In other words, you're depending upon what you know having been drilled into you, like these Sunday school kids have. They say, well, in other words, Baptist born and Baptist, rather the Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist till I die, or something like that it is. All right, you got the same thing. Whereas Brother Branham quoted David Duplessis, God has no grandchildren. See, in other words, if you're teaching the truth, if the child is going to be right, he's still got to have his own experience, and that experience in the Holy Ghost will cut him off from a mental thing into a spiritual thing. How often have you yourself said, I used to believe that thing when I was young? But now I know it's the truth because it's been revealed. See? Or has even part of the truth given you? See, Brother Branham came to correct the errors. He didn't come and bring a whole new book of things because what was under the seals was already there. It's to reveal it. See? Now what about I knew of eternal hell for years and years, and I was 20 years old, I got caught. They said, how many kinds of eternal life are there, Brother? Oh, I was smarter than I said, only one kind of eternal life. And they said, well, how come you can go to hell then and live forever? I took the wind out of my sails and knew the Bible couldn't teach that kind of nonsense. I knew somebody misunderstood, I misunderstood. I said, that's right. Why would I need eternal life? I already had it. There couldn't be an eternal hell. But the prophet came and showed the truth behind it. Election, all of these things, see? Now, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit making them real. Because if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I could actually parrot these things. See? Just like preaching another man's sermon. You know, you never make the same job, but remember the story Dr. Price told? I tell the story. One day I was in Canada. My wife and I tuned in the radio to get a message that Sunday because way out in the country, no church to go to at that particular time, those few months there. So we turned the radio on to hear a message, and lo and behold, out of Calgary, Alberta, here was a preacher preaching Brother Price's sermon, almost word for word, and claiming it as his own. And you know what? It was a shemazah. It was, because it didn't work, because it wasn't his message. That's the way people are, that the word cannot live. Let's bring a dead of fundamentals in here in our group. As good as that fellow preaches, he's just dead to us. Why? There's no reciprocating spirit. But to the people who got that same spirit on them that's on that preacher, oh, that's great guns. And then we go on. They say, oh, that stupid fool Baal. What's he trying to tell them? I become a fool to them? Sure, they become a fool to me. I don't mean that in a bad sense. I mean that in a good sense. In the highest sense, I can equate it. They don't understand. It's just not there, see? And so the word sounds terrific to those that are in a creed and a dogma. That's their perverted word. To us, it won't work. The true word to them won't work. How can a man not see, thus saith the Lord? I just still stand back and wonder, what in the world's going on? Oh, brother, they're going to see something when California goes down. I want to stand back and say, well, now, my. I don't suppose California's there in the first place. I wonder. Let's see, let me figure this thing out. Because I've got to get this exactly right. To me, thus saith the Lord, is bigger than California going down. What if many million go down? You and I can't stop that. The judgments of God are holy. Amen. Don't fuss at them. Just leave it up to God, whatever he's doing. But brother, sister, they're so blind. That's why they're blind and it'll go down because they couldn't see thus saith the Lord and they wouldn't see thus saith the Lord. In fact, I was there the last time when they laughed in the prophet's face. They just tittered and laughed. It was such a great joke when he said, and every time I come back, you don't not only won't listen, you're worse than ever. And he said, that was the biggest ha-ha. Like he said, the biggest compliment. Like some man came along, some little woe be gone, no good nothing came in and said, you wonderful, wonderful people. You are getting more and more and more wonderful. That's how hilarious they were. You know what? The angels, the men in Sodom and Gomorrah, that wanted to commit their dirty, rotten, lustful act, even while blind, sought the doors. Pentecost, may God have pity on you. Sure. Second generation Christians. It takes the very life of the Spirit in the Word of God to make that Word real. Fourthly, the mysteries of God which are foolishness to the world must be proclaimed with boldness. Everybody likes to be alike, you know, don't they? That certain sense of belonging. There is no shame preaching what other people repudiate. Let's go over here to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 19. Paul says, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth with boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, sometimes it's a little difficult to take a stand for the word. Well, why? Because you're around people that are so different from you. You're around them and you don't want to bring up something controversial. You know, it's so nice to have a group of people that you can just have nice fellowship with. They remind me of my friend back in the Carolinas when I said to him, brother, how in the world can you go to that dead church you go to? He said, Brother Vail, he said, I used to go to a lively church, but I'm so tired of fighting. It's so nice now just sit in a dead place where there's no fighting going on. And I said, brother, I can't agree with you. I admire your thought, but I can't agree with you. See? Certainly, when you preach this word, there is going to be controversy. Certainly, when you preach, they're going to come against you. That's why even Paul prayed, and he's so dedicated to Christ, evidently must have been in the throes of some type of downheartedness when he said, pray for me that God will give me special boldness so I'll go and preach this even harder. See, now remember, the bread must be anointed with oil. Certainly. Not casting pearl before swine. But this word of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost, never be afraid to bring it. In season, not a season, God will lead you. And remember, what Paul preached about Christ was a paradox. The gospel is a paradox. The gospel is foolishness. The gospel is a funny thing. And right today, in the very fact of the sense that our New Testament comes out of the Old Testament, where all the doctrine is basic in the Old, because there's nothing new, it's all in the Old, right in Genesis, and you got a prophet according to Deuteronomy 18, the people still turn away from a prophet. Sure, it's a paradox. It's foolishness to them. And remember, the prophet preached on ashamed to him, and ashamed to him was ashamed of that word. You know, actually, the peculiar thing about this message and my interest in it is this, as I say my interest in from an academic viewpoint. If I were a fundamental preacher, knowing my own background, to me there would be no greater gospel, truer to the word, even without the true revelation, than just simply preaching what Brother Branham taught. Because to me it would encompass what I would consider an absolute beautiful and perfect doctrine to bring to anybody, and yet how many people would believe it if I even brought it academically? About 2%. They wouldn't take it. But the word must be proclaimed. See? It didn't say your own personal testimony. That's fine for women. And that's fine for men. But when it comes down to the toe-to-toe, sword clashing on sword battle, then you've got to stand up for this word. And let me tell you one thing more. This word is so powerful that if you tell them two times, you don't need to tell them again. You're never running battle with them. No, Brother Branham said after the second time, leave them alone. Let them come to you. Let's go ahead a little further here. And let's look in the book of Colossians, the 4th chapter, pardon me, verses 2-4. Masters, Give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Notice, God must open the doors of utterance. What are the people that are running where they shouldn't run? Didn't Brother Brown say something about that men run in with hobnail shoes or angels fear to tread? I think it's one of his expressions, which is a real old, real old expression we have from many, many years back. That's right. Notice what Paul said, pray that the door of utterance. Now remember, in those days they didn't have telephones, they didn't have printing presses, they didn't have radios, they didn't have books, just manuscripts. So when he used the word utterance, he was using the common media. Let me also say this, let people watch where they rush in. With tapes, maybe tracks, maybe books, anything. Yeah. You know, Paul wanted to rush in one day. And he was all set to go to Asia Minor, and the angel of God appeared, Christ in a vision. He said, Paul, you're not going there. You're going to Macedonia. He saw the man saying, come over and help us. See, a door of utterance. See, this word, the ministries that God give are not to be equated to the spectacular or to the ways in which the world does things. You know, just talking along that line, you know, let me show you something over here. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, I think I mentioned this a year or so ago. It's one of my favorite little thoughts anyway in 2 Thessalonians. It says here about the old Antichrist. Even him who's coming in verse 9 is after the working of Satan with all power and lying signs and wonders. Now, also, Paul said, we're not unaware of the methods of the devil, the wiles, which is the word methods. Now, you notice one thing here, this word workings signifies the energies. Now, you know as well as I do, Brother Branham said that the hybrid old mule out there, that old boy that's a cross between the real one and the horse, he's out there, these long floppy ears, just waiting for the day when he can kick you one. That's the old devil. And he said he'll outwork any horse. See? Oh, he's a worker. And so it is, we find, that if you want to look at the devil, he's got everything lined up to be efficient. Now, he says the man, I'm going to be a real servant of God. I'm going to be real efficient. You're right there. You ain't no servant of God at all. Because Jesus Christ was the most inefficient man living. Say, now, just a minute, sir. You mean to tell me that you are Jehovah come down in flesh? He said, I not only mean to tell you, I am. Have you seen my works? I've seen your works. Tell me, could I do those works? He said, no, you couldn't do those works. Then who did them? God did them. Well, I'm gone. Oh, you're, you couldn't be gone. Why aren't you saving the world? Why don't you do something? That's what they kept saying, do something, do something, do something. And he sat at home twiddling his thumbs, so to speak. I don't move till God says move. I don't speak till God says speak. I don't do what he says do. They said, but look, time is a-wasting. Let me get my printing presses rolling. I got nothing against printing presses rolling. I'm for them. I got nothing against tracks. I'm for tracks. I'm for any way you can get this out, but under the direction of God. Not someone rushing in to take over somebody else's job or trying to be this fellow or trying to be that fellow, but anointed by God. Because if the bread is not anointed oil, the bread goes stale and dry and the oil fails. We're not dealing now with a man-made invention here. But I want to show you William Branham was the most ineffectual man living. He said one day, Brother Bailey said, not one of my gifts is missing. He said, in fact, I have more. He said, that. Remember that picture of the flames of fire? He said, all nine gifts in operation. I remember up there in, where is it now? In Maine, I believe it was. We were watching a television. It was a religious one. I won't tell you who it was, but you can guess. Biggest crowd in America, Pentecost. And, you know, he wept as he saw that vast crowd and knew what he could do if God would only let him. Yes, in his hotel room in my presence, he wept. He said, Seeley, it's so wrong. so anxious for this man who had everything in this age, literally like a Moses, to strike that rock and produce water against the will of God, and he said, I can't do it. And of course, I wept with him. But I already knew by that time he couldn't do what they were doing. I said, Brother Branham, I said, we both know that you can't do what they're doing. Golden calf scheme, big program, multi-million dollar buildings and all. Where is God in that? If God himself used a borrowed temple, was born only in a manger, and the only thing that was really his own because they gave it to him was a cross, I don't see an efficient God there according to human tradition, but I see the Lord of glory and I want to follow him. Yes, this message is not given for self-aggrandizement. It's not given to preach any way we want to preach it or where we want to preach it. This word, these choice words, revealed words of God, were given to a minister that we ought to follow to the very letter and act as he acted. Now listen, we don't even have the power. Then how much more careful are we ought to be? Not anyone stay home, because he rebuked the young men for not going out. If I had a missionary call, I'd want to be nothing but a missionary. If I had a call to go overseas, I'd want nothing but to go overseas. I'm not against those things. I'm for them. But they must be under the Holy Ghost or it will come to nothing. That's all I'm trying to say. Because that's the pattern. And that's what Brother Branham taught. Young man went to him one time and said, Brother Branham, I want to do so and so. He said, that's wonderful. Do what's in your heart. And the voice of a Brother Branham, I feel even more so I should wait on my ministry to get God's direction to go. He said, now you've said the truth. God bless you. Can we know these things, brother, sister? I say not only can we know, we must know them. We must know them. God's not dead. We have a living God. Fifthly, it's evident that the mysteries will not scatter or separate the bride, but bring her together. What do you think of that? This revealed word should not scatter. How many groups have we got? We got more than, Heinz has got pickles, 57 varieties, haven't we? 200 and some people with a 200 and some version or something. Let me see. Colossians, the second chapter, 1-7. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Laodicea. Could be a perfect message for us, eh? And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, even of the Father, even of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice what he said? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The first thing Brother Branham said about his ministry was the major revelation of this day and this hour was that there is one God whose name is Lord Jesus Christ, and you must be baptized in that name. Now, we've started there, and that's the great one we all start on. And amongst us, I don't believe there's one of us who isn't at that place. From there on, we have our scattering points. Now, notice, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now, we all acknowledge. Now, we don't all acknowledge that Brother Branham was a prophet. Some acknowledge him as Jesus Christ. Some acknowledge him as something else. But we must acknowledge him as Elijah the prophet to the Gentiles. From Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Revelation 10 and 7, being the two pertinent ones. Now, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. See, what enticing words? Well, he's got something to tell you about the subject. Built where? Built upon Brother Branham. For though I be absent in flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness in your faith in Christ. Now, I never knew how to place Brother Branham's sentence when he made it. concerning the fact that our loved ones could see us. I don't know what he meant by that. If he said they really can see us, then I think maybe that's food for thought. I think maybe if we really believed that, we wouldn't be doing some of the things we're doing. If we'd be embarrassed in their presence as well as God, it'd be pretty good for all of us. But supposing he is absent and able to see, I don't know what he can see. So I'm not going to say anything about it. Paul was not there in the flesh. He was still living. But supposing there is a place there, we understood him to say it, and he said he did say it, which I don't understand, so I just leave it alone. And I certainly wouldn't be adverse to him seeing, if God allows him to do it. He said here, I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. Church order? Love order? Order the word? Ordering our lives? And the steadfastness of your faith, which is the revelation of Christ that I brought you. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now listen, can you receive him any other way than what we said right here? Oh, I've received Christ, have you? And turned down the anointed word of the hour? I've received Christ, can yet turn down church order? I've received Christ and yet cease to walk in love? I've received Christ and yet not stay in our places where God put us, because every one of us has an effectual ministry. And remember, there's literally hundreds of ministries, one of which is just giving, and one of which is forgiving. See? Now, is there any other way to receive him? If there is, I want to know about it. If there is, it's merely head knowledge. As Brother Branham once said, he said, you can't receive the Holy Ghost by faith. He was talking to Baptist doctrine, because the Baptist say, I received the Holy Ghost, how? By faith. In other words, you believe you got him? Yeah, prove it. There's no proof at all. He just believes they got him and got him. That's like me saying, I believe God gave me a pair of shoes. Show me your shoes. Oh, I'm still walking in bare feet. Well, then you ain't got it. Well, I received it by faith. Where's your shoes? Sure, you received the Holy Ghost by faith. But you get the Holy Ghost, you don't just think you get him and say, I got to get him by faith, and there's nothing there. See? How then have we received Christ? What's there? See? What's there? Got to be something there. See? You've got to. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that anybody in this building has a lesser call than I got, even though I'm up here speaking, and I know my calling 100%. I know. I don't have any problem what I've called to do. What I'm doing. The only problem I got is with the Lee Dale fulfilling that calling. I know what the calling is. I just can't see where people are so indecisive concerning things. I don't understand. I think as 3 years old, I knew what I was going to be had God let me be it. I'd have been it. I don't understand it. See? God does not, to me, this being so explicit and implicit, I just can't see where people have their doubts on these lines. Well, there might be a margin there somewhere, but to me, I don't understand it, see. Just like I see here, if we've received Christ the Lord, then we're in this message. Nothing outside this comes to light. See? Not that I want it that way, but remember, I still want it that way. Not that I am the author or the desire that, but God put it there. See, watch. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Notice that faith. As you have been taught, abounding what? Abounding in the revelation with thanksgiving. What makes people say they're born again and hate the fact of a God who predestinates, elect one and to reprobate the other? Tell me what's wrong with them. That's supposed to be much cause for thanksgiving. Yet I've heard people say, Brother Dale, if I believed that, I couldn't believe God anymore. Of course, me and my wicked sense of humor, that's when I break up. What are they talking about? Who do they think they are? How do you reply against God? Tell me, how do you reply against God? I'd like to know. Can you see him? Huh? Like Ingersoll said, if there's a God, let him come down and strike me dead. And one fellow said, that's like a peanut saying to Santa Fe Railway Company, if there be a Santa Fe Railway Company, let us send a train and mush me up on the track here. So it'll come in due time and mush him up. You wait your turn. What do you do? See? Who reply against God? We have seen the vindication. We have seen the last sign the church will ever have. What more is there? Have you received it? Then stand in what you got. Root and grounded. You know what that word root means? It means roots. You remember that legend they told years ago about the fellow that stood there so long his feet took root? If you keep standing on what revelation you have in the solid rock, your feet will take roots too. Go right down into Christ. Certainly. Now listen. It is evident, we mention here, that this does not scatter the sheep. It brings them together, see? Now, let me show you that. 2 Thessalonians. Whoops, turned the wrong way. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, Brother Branham said, and this in the Greek is a complete collection, Brother Branham said, that's the end time message. How did he know? He doesn't know one word of the Greek. It doesn't separate. It's going to bring us all together. Sixth, no true ministry of the mysteries will use his office in any way except for the sake of the word to the very elect. In 1 Timothy 3 and 9, this is a tough one for the ministers. In 3 and 9, it says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. How many preachers, how many men that want to use this word or anybody else, want to use it solely for the sake of the word which is Christ? No axe to grind. No money to make, no special thing they want. There is just one desire, and that's be absolutely right. I don't know if I can equate this to help you to understand. Sometimes one illustration helps, sometimes it doesn't. In my own heart, no matter how often I feel I've failed or how often I haven't failed, how many times I feel I've made no progress or thank God that I have made progress, there is one thing in my heart that I hold above all else. If I could honestly feel I have given God any glory at any time, I'd die a happy man. This is the way I feel we ought to feel about this word. With the same spirit of humility down deep in our hearts, there is one thing, to hold this mystery with a pure conscience. Not trying to make converts, that's not it. But it's snatching a brand from the burning and wanting to teach this word because it is the true word. Not to try to make a mark in anybody's flesh or try to win anybody over in anything we teach, but for the pure and simple sake of the word of Almighty God to bring it out. Not that we'd look good. Not that we could even say so much was done. Brother, sister, in the final analysis, remember this. The Bible says one sows and one waters, but God gives the increase. He never says for a woman that you got an increase. The best anybody could say is with the Apostle Paul, I labored only on new and virgin ground. I didn't build on another man's foundation. That's the best anybody could say. Take that word out, but to do it in a pure heart. Why? Why do we want to evangelize? Why do we want to teach? What do we want this word for going at anyway? This, now we examine our motives. What are we doing it for? Is it for the sake of that word that's so lovely? Christ, the lovely word revealed? People say, I'm doing this for the sake of Jesus Christ and be a million miles off that word. Something's wrong somewhere. Then on the other hand, we could take that word and be a million miles off of his person, so to speak. Remember, there are many people go door to door, two by two, and at four by four, I suppose they thought they could make it be that much more profound in their entrance. And what do? They go to make a convert. What to? A creed or a dogma. Isn't right. See, I want my loved ones to come. What for? What for? So I want one with me. That's nice, but what for? See, I'm talking now in the highest and purest sense of the word. May God help us this morning to see that and each one of us do it. See, we're lost. In other words, we're not lost in the sense of the Bible lost that people speak of. But I mean, we're lost to everything but this one desire, that pure word. My. See, that's the way Paul was. That's the way Brother Branham was. I must reserve and keep myself from everything but this word and give myself to unreservedly. Why? As a man and woman ordained to marriage, there is no commitment to anyone but to each other. That I may commit myself to his word. Seven. Certain mysteries are necessarily reserved for certain seasons and cannot be made known until the time for the manifestation. This revelation is for the bride that she may never be deceived, so the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. I spoke of that at the first thing. this revelation of faith.
Sure.
Paul said, we've got the Spirit that gives us manifestation. Certainly we got it. Paul had it. Irenaeus had it. Thomas had it. Martin had it. Columba. All had it. There wasn't one that didn't have it of every age. Each one was baptized with the Holy Ghost. But it's this age that receives the absolute manifestation of that which they all had. See? This is the day. Brother Branham said that the manifestation of the sons of God was reserved for this day. So is the mystery of iniquity. It's reserved for this day. So is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in a man's life. Certain mysteries are, they have to wait for their time. And we're waiting now. This is what we're waiting for. What about the day that God gave Noah promise? And he said, Noah, it's going to rain. Now build your ark, so it's going to rain, you'll float. So Noah builds the ark. After the ark's built, he said, bring in the animals, bring the animals in. Now he said, come on in yourself, come on in. They shut the door, and God leaves him in total darkness for one solid week, and he doesn't know if it's going to rain or not. He sits there waiting for the flood to carry him. There's where we stand today, too. Brother Branham told us a lot of good things. Oh, yes, he did. He told us some things that make your hair stand on end. And you know what? People are getting a little bit nervous. They're grasping at it. They're trying to make it come to pass. One lady I know, she says she has thus saith the Lord, but it flops every time she uses it. She ain't got it. Because thus saith the Lord doesn't have a thing to do with anybody but God. When God said, let there be light, that was it. You think you're going to stop him? And when he said, let the earth bring forth, you think you're going to stop him? That's thus saith the Lord. The earth didn't say, well, I don't think I'm ready. It was ready. The light didn't say, I'll be a long time coming. No, it wasn't even there to say anything. That's what I'm trying to show you. When you have thus saith the Lord, it is absolutely without condition, but the great prime factor gone. We're waiting for it. We've seen it in the man. We haven't seen it. We never saw it operate. The closest we saw was thus saith the Lord, and the thing came to pass in somebody's life. But the bride having thus saith the Lord, we haven't seen it. Is it coming? When's it going to come? I don't know, but it's coming. He said, so who's going to do it? The bride. What part? I don't know. Somebody's going to do it. It'll be there, see? You've got to wait for it. It's to be revealed in its season. The eighth point. There has to be some kind of manifested vindication to prove to which one it is that God is giving the true revelation of the mysteries or the doctrine to the bride. Now, Paul had it, and cutting this short, today, Brother Branham had it. Because he was given the full revelation, and he was given the vindication to prove that he was the one to bring the word. Now, what are you going to do about the men today that fall in his footsteps? What are you going to do about yourself? See, there's a point now. You're not vindicated, I'm not vindicated. I just want to know some of these things are being taught by some people. Where do they find in the Bible without twisting the Bible into a knot? I want to know where church age messengers were mediators. Some believe they were, but Jesus is a mediator. And he's a man. Not men. Doesn't say men mediate, it says man. You say, I'm going to identify Jesus with this man's flesh. Go ahead. Just don't rope me in. I ain't roped. Let's get your Bibles out and see where it goes. William Branham had a vindicated ministry. The messengers of God came in a vision. Those seven mighty angels swept down like a burst of thunder. He thought he was killed. He was actually. That was part of the vision because Joseph stood by screaming. It was all part of it. God had to take away the man, humanly speaking, that came down here as a mouthpiece, opened those seals. Remember, brother, sister, it was a bleeding lamb that opened the seals. It was a pillar of fire that brought it down. So the messenger also would have to bleed. No doubt, he had to die for having had that very ministry. Son Joseph stood by. Now what happens? He said, I saw him about the day afterwards, still in a sort of confusion in his mind. The Lord worked it out where I could just be there the next day. We talked about it. The occlusion seemed to be that he would come out west, and there he would receive the revelation of those seven seals. But he couldn't shake his mind. What was that terrible thing that would kill a man? See, it happened. Now, the point is that those seven mighty messengers did come down in a form of a pyramid. See, the little tiny birds like sparrows, then the dove-sized, then the mighty angels coming. First bull, second bull, third bull. Going back to Jeffersonville, opening those seals, starting to open them, really, because it endured through the rest of his life. because marriage and divorce was part of the seven seals, which was, you know, at the very end, was around Easter time in 1965, and he passed on at the end of 65. Now, looking at that whole thing, those angels were in that pyramid, he saw and recognized, and yet in the opening of seals, every day, one of those same messengers appeared, bringing forth that word for each age, and yet when the word was brought forth, he went to his Bible. Now here's a man, thus saith the Lord. Here's a man, brother, sister, that ought to know God to such an extent that just duck soup, so to speak, nothing to it, you know? Only you don't get that careless, or you'll find out you'll pay a price. Nobody gets familiar with God. And the prophet, like Peter, went to the Word. Because Peter said, we heard the voice from the excellent glory when we were in the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said, I've got something more sure than this, and that's the Word of the prophets. Here was Peter with Jesus. Here was the vindication. Here was Moses. Here was Elijah. Here was Jesus. Here were they. And he could have said, and he did say, let's build three tabernacles. And the voice said, back away from that. Listen to the Son. Now then, in Peter, he tells us, we backed away from even this vision. Now, do you think Brother Bam's vision would have been greater than Peter's? Not really. Not really, because vision's a vision, and the Word of God, no word's void of power. Let's face it, the second age was just as great as this age for what it's supposed to be. So we just don't compare and fool around with that. But putting it where I believe it belongs, that vision to Peter would have been just as great as that one to Brother Branham in this age. Both went right to the Bible. Now then, what do you believe this morning that Brother Branham taught? You find it here in the Word. Now, if you can't find it here, you leave it alone till you can find it here. You say, well, I believe Brother Branham said, now a prophet says everything in the Word, but he also says some things that aren't in the Word. So that doesn't stump me at all. If a prophet couldn't do that, he's no prophet to me. But everything he says about this Word had better be in here. Now, he said there was no symbol to the seventh seal. It never had a symbol. Do you think maybe he actually gave us that symbol? He said a certain vision slid right into this Bible where it was. Just like the sword did. I can find the sword, but I can't find the other. That's why Lee Bale had better leave that thing alone. Just kind of look at it. And think about it till he can find it here in the Word. Now, brother, sister, these mysteries, you see, aren't what maybe what you thought they were. Some vague kind of thing you couldn't put your hand on. Oh, yes, it's been open to us. It's been that revealed Word of God come down out of heaven. The full revelation been open before us. We've seen Christ, the Word, revealed. Now, brother, sister, as they said, we handled and knew that one, that Word made flesh. So we also today are handling that same Word revealed by the Spirit of God. Let us be careful that we can go to this Word and we know what we see because He came to reveal it. Under those seals was not something He ripped off to see something new. It was to see what was here, but it was veiled because it was clouded over by creeds and dogmas. But it's not so anymore. Now therefore, when you listen, and I listen, let's remember the prophet always took the Bible for what he taught. And until we can see it in that Word, he said, don't you press and don't you fuss, you just wait and it'll come. Now I know, I've got confidence, that everything my God wants to show me is going to come based upon what he said, but it's here. Now if he said it slid right back into that Word where it was, and he said that seventh seal goes right back to Genesis, I'm not going to fool myself. I'm just going to wait on my Word, just like he did. See? And if he did it, I've got to do it. I don't have what he has. See? There's your mysteries. It's not something that you can't know about. It's not something that's so hard to understand you can't be a part of it. You've been hearing these mysteries if you followed Brother Branham. Maybe like some of us going back and having met him in 1953. We've been in touch with these mysteries all along for my own life. Of course, I heard him way back before 53. But in 52:3, from then on, I began hearing you. I've been hearing roughly the mysteries of God for 20 solid years. And it was only the last few years I realized that I was hearing those mysteries. And it was the revealed truth of God come down out of heaven, revealing the very Lord Himself. There's where you stand. So clear your hearts of all your doubts and fears. God's done a great thing for you, brother, sister. Done what I couldn't do. Done what you couldn't do by yourself or collectively. God came by grace like He did the Apostle Paul, who wasn't even waiting for it. Struck him down. And suddenly God sent a messenger, and by the Holy Ghost, hewed us out of creeds and denominations, and brought us right into place where we could hear, circumcised our hearts and ears, releasing the Holy Ghost, that once more Christ could be brought into full view. To see that mercy seat right out there. To see our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To know the book of redemption was now open, that God was going to claim the heritage for us. He was going to do it that Adam and Eve had lost. My, I just don't see all kind of funny things and these mysterious things were flying around. I don't see it at all. To me, it's an open book. Amen. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise and be dismayed? Gracious eternal Father, I only pray, Lord God, that at this time, everything said will have been to elucidate and show clearly, Father, what was brought to us in this day. How tragic it would be if the man of God made a beautiful, simple statement about what those mysteries were, and any preacher should dare to stand up and befog the issue to make it even more unclear to the people's hearts. But I pray, Lord, that this has not been so at all, but now they realize what it was. And here it is now, an open view. Oh, God, that which was hidden, no longer hidden, but coming into the full illumination within us. Lord, don't let anybody be confused from this moment on. Father, don't let any heart be perplexed and just begin wondering and wondering. No, what a tragedy it would be, Lord, if a man came on the scene to compound our problems of understanding. No, Lord. I know that's not so. It's not so at all. I think maybe, Lord, it's the people butting in where they shouldn't butt in. They should leave it right alone. That was the prophet's ministry. The word's ours to receive and eat. Fresh manna, hallelujah. Fresh bread anointed with the oil. Sip with the wine, hallelujah, Lord. That's where we stand this morning, knowing Your word will heal us. Knowing Your word creates, Your word sustains, Your word raptures. Oh, God, this morning, hallelujah, Lord, bring every joint together, every bone. Let this be the valley of dry bones. Breathe upon us, Lord, we pray, until every bone comes together and clothed in flesh. Oh, God, a glorious army rising on its feet. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank You. Therefore, these things are simple. As the prophet said, it was so simple, even he didn't know how simple it was, even having preached the message on simplicity. Oh, Lord, give us that same simple heart. We don't ask for His ministry, but we ask for that simple heart of faith to rest in it and just stand by until God reveals it, if there's something else to be shown. Lord, help Your people now to just rest the sweet rest of faith. The sweet rest of faith, Lord, is that they're one because of this word. Oh, God, help them. We just pray Your blessing upon them, Lord. Heal the sick this morning, if there be any here. Let them know there is a balm in Gilead, a physician in Israel. There always was. It didn't take some cripple to come by and prove it. Doesn't take some blind to come by and prove it. It is. Because He lives, we live also. Oh, Lord, let us know that this morning. Thank God. Thank God we may be like Noah in the ark this morning. But hallelujah, we're going to rise with the tide because Your word promises that. So, Father, we praise You this morning and magnify Your great name. And may You delight in us, Lord, because we're the children of the truth. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus again. We'll walk in the light. That seems to be the one I think we're missing.